Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Ask me what I'm going to be doing tomorrow on the WGN-TV morning news scene Monday through Friday, 4 a.m. until 10, but I'm not plugging.
Hey, Dean, what are you going to be doing tomorrow morning between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. on WGN morning news that you're not plugging?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good parroting back. I like that. Twani, tomorrow, talking with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
All right.
We've got a new movie coming out. They are unfortunately opening their new movie called Sisters, which is hilarious, the same day as Star Wars.
Oh.
You want to be the movie that's opening up against Star Wars?
I don't think so. Wow.
One movie is going to make like $200 million and the other, you know, will have to settle for about $50 million.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, though, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good get.
That should work.
We've got them on Monday. We've got Maya Rudolph on Tuesday. We've got more of the stars of Star Wars. Some of the last week we played back some of the interviews with, you know, like Harrison Ford and some of the veteran Star Wars actors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this week we'll have some of the new actors from the film as well, including Lupita Nyong'o, who won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. She's among the new actors in the film. And then on Thursday morning, I'm going to give you my review of Star Wars The Force Awakens. What else? Oh, Thursday and Friday, I will be out. You know how they send reporters out to different locations?
Yeah, it's called on-the-scene reporting.
On-the-scene reporting, if you're going to use the technical broadcasting jargon. Yes. I'm going to be out with the costumed fans, you know, the people who
are... Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You'll run into a couple of friends I know that no doubt are going to be in one of these lines.
I can't
Maybe
wait.
Maybe out at the Chinese theater.
I can't wait.
That you were talking
about. Hey, you know,
about.
These people don't come out of their mom's basements very often. So, you know, when they do, you got to give them, some props when they come out. So we've got a lot of movie fun coming up this week on where?
Channel 9, WGN-TV, Chicago's very own must-watch morning news between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. with the great Dean Richards. And since we're talking about up-and-coming things that you're going to be covering and working on, once again, let's talk about the special report you're working on.
The Johnny
Carson
special.
Dealing with the one and only Johnny Carson.
This week on WGN Morning News, Memories of the Great Johnny Carson.
That you must watch, Channel Chicago's very own.
If you grew up with Johnny Carson, you got to watch these. That we're going to assemble also a half an hour special that will be on closer to New Year's Day. We'll talk much. We've got a lot of memories coming up this coming week, but much more to come in the weeks ahead. I'll tell you about. You know what we've been talking about though, the last couple of weeks has been the Spike Lee movie Chi-Raq. That I gave a Dean's List C. There were some things in the movie that I appreciated that I thought were moving. Mostly disappointed in the movie, though. In fact, I said that the movie was a huge missed opportunity. That was like kind of just summing up how I felt about it. Different critics have said different things, but I was really interested in finding out what people who live on the South Side have to say about this movie. People were actually affected by the subject matter of this film. So I go to my friend Rhymefest, who is in studio with us this morning, who, among other things, also recording and doing other things, also co-wrote the Academy Award-winning song along with Common and John Legend Glory, one of the co-writers. Welcome. Nice to have
Thank
you.
Thank you, Dean.
Nice to have you here with us. So we chat every now and again on text or, we chat with the other phone. And, we've been talking about the Chi-Raq and expectations of it all. And, you had mentioned to me your work with the Donda's House. and the young people that you work with who are in the arts at the Dondas House. So explain what Dondas House is and what it is that you all do there.
Well, Dondas House is a premium arts program that's named after Kanye West's late mother, Dr. Donda West. Dr. Donda West gave me, Kanye, a lot of other young people a safe space in her home to record music. So what we do now in her memory is we try to provide a safe space for artists to not only record their music, but to get feedback, to meet people in the industry, and to be kind of maturated and procured, not only as artists, but as young people, the same way Dr. Donda West did us.
So you put together, I say, you know, what if we get together a group of, young people to go and see Chirac, and we bring them all together over the TV station and get their opinions on the film. And you put together a, may I say, magnificent panel of people. Just a great group of articulate, thoughtful, funny young people to, to give their opinions on this film. And we ran it this week on WGN. I can't think of anything that we've had more reaction on.
Wow.
In a really long time of people saying how powerful it was to hear these young voices, and speaking so eloquently and thoughtfully and passionately about the movie and their own lives. So thank you for that.
Our motto at Donda's House is share your truth. So whatever your truth is, doesn't need to be the truth of the media or of the running narrative that's happening. It needs to come from where you stand, what's happening in your life, and you sharing that in a unique way. And that's our model, so thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah, well, these young people really shared their truth, and they didn't follow the narrative. I mean, it would be very easy to, it's Spike Lee. You know, he's one of the most famous directors in the world. Spike Lee does something, and you just follow him blindly. But these people are thinking on their own. And speaking their own truth about this film, as we found out. And we have a slightly smaller group here with us this morning of some of the same very thoughtful people. And I'm glad that you all can be here. Shana, why don't you start off? Just tell me, let's go through the panel so everyone can identify voices. Shana is up first. Welcome, Shana. Nice to have you here.
Hello, thank you for having
me. Let me turn your microphones on. That might help a little bit. Everything was going so well until Dean forgot to turn the microphones on. Shana Jones, right?
Yes. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Nice to have you with us. And this is Kendall, right? Kendall DeLashment, is that
right? Yeah, you got it, Dean. That's perfect. Nice. Kendall DeLashment here.
Filmmaker, right?
Yes. Filmmaker, rapper, producer. You give me a paintbrush and I'll paint you something beautiful as well.
All right. I'll remember that the next time I need my house
there
painted.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is Imani Hardy as well.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. What are your interests, Imani, in the arts?
Oh, I do music, I draw, and I want to get into acting, but I haven't acted on that yet. So
all right.
That's something I'm going to do in my future.
All right. So you've got some goals ahead of you. Shana, I want to start off with you because we heard so many interesting comments when we got together at the TV station. I really found yours very interesting because the Spike Lee movie is about a sex strike that the women put on in order to stop the violence.
Right.
And you found that a little bit offensive.
Yes, because it seemed like it pretty much put the women down to the status of only being able to use their sex for power. And what was funny to me, well, not necessarily funny, but Angela Bassett's character started out very intelligent and she was reading books and she wanted to spread her knowledge, you know, to all of the youth. And then she just ended up falling in line with the plan of the sex strike. So it kind of just, it demoralized her character, you know. It was kind of weird to me how she started off so strong, but everybody else just ended up going along with the plan and, you know, not having a different perspective.
You said that it made you uncomfortable, that the movie made you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a little bit offensive because, one, it was just completely over-sexualized, like I stated earlier. It's like, I thought, you know, this would be a film that you could bring your kids, since it's Chirac and has a common name. I thought everyone could be able to come to see it and, you know, be able to relate. But it was unrelatable because it was so much sex throughout the movie that overpowered the theme of the movie or any type of message that he wanted to portray.
Yeah. Now, Imani, you of this panel of, I guess we had 10 or 12 people here, mm-hmm. and I asked for thumbs up and thumbs down. Your thumb was the only one that was up. I mean, you really, as you explained it, though, really you had more mixed feelings about the film, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to understand what he was trying to do as an artist. That's why I don't really want to say, like, because I don't think he was trying to offend people with the movie. That's because he's Spike Lee and he does stuff for the community. But I'm not sure. I don't really know. That's what I'm saying. I'm a young person, so I don't really know, like, Spike Lee's background fully, but I know he has good intentions with it. That's why I didn't really want to bash it or nothing. I was trying to understand what he was trying to do. Like, I didn't agree with the way he represented Chicago, but it's like, he's not from here, so he wouldn't really know how to put Chicago into the movie without outward input into the movie from people, with people like, I guess that's from here, but he didn't really want to do that.
Well, what I found very charming really was your original comments. You said that you liked some of the funny parts and some of the corny parts. You say you like corny things. Who doesn't like funny and corny things, right?
Yeah, I do like the corniness of the movie. Like, it was really corny. I felt like it was on purpose. That's why I was like, maybe he trying to do it on purpose, like make everything corny and ridiculous. And that's how I seen it. I was like, that's why I was trying to understand. I thought it was funny because I was laughing most of the time. And I wasn't laughing at none of the serious parts. But as far as, like, the comedy he was trying to throw in there, I was laughing. So that's why I liked it, because of the comedy, really.
Yeah.
Everything else is kind of like confusing to me. You ever played, anybody ever like played the game Saints Row before?
Yeah.
All right, it's like Spike Lee played that game and then did that movie.
So Saints Row is like a Grand Theft Auto kind of game, you know what I mean? Where, you know, it's gratuitous violence, but it's in a cartoonish kind of way in a video game. And so I guess that's what you're saying. It was like a cartoonish violence type movie, and that was the humor in it. Yeah. This what Spike Lee is calling the satire. Yeah.
Right.
It was the entertainment for you.
Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, but Kendall, I think it was in the conversation that we had, said that you just didn't find a lot of this funny. That this really, it's personal to you, and the comedy was lost on you because, to you personally, it's what they were talking about is tragic, right?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it earlier when you were saying that it was a very interesting approach. You weren't really sure, like, what he was going for when he was going for the satirical, comical role. And I felt the same way. I just really believe that there was a missed opportunity by making it a comedy. Personally, I've lost, you know, countless people to the gun violence in Chicago. So, including,
you lost a brother, right?
Yeah, I lost my older brother in 2008. Yeah. It's actually coming up on the 7th anniversary of me losing my brother. So, yeah, it was just hard to laugh. Even when, like Imani said, there were some humorous moments of the film, but it was just very hard and uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable laughing at it because, like I said, I mean, we have an opportunity. We have a major platform to shed light on a very serious situation. So from the outsiders looking in, they're saying, oh, the situation must not be that bad if they can make a joke about it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I felt like the approach was a little misguided. I know, and I don't want to get too personal into Spike Lee's life, but he lost a brother to heart disease, which is a, you know, huge problem in the Black community as well. What if I did a film about, you know, heart disease, and I said,
heart disease, the satire, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, oh, the way to cure heart disease is to eat more McDonald's. You know, like, how would he feel about that?
Yeah.
I think that would.
Well, somebody on the panel brought up the point, what if there was a comedy about Sandy Hook?
Exactly.
I said, what, you know, would it be appropriate if there were a comedy about September 11th?
No.
It's too tragic. It's too sad. Mm-hmm. I think. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this. Our Chirac panel is here. It's 11:23. This is Dean Richards Sunday Morning, WGN. We're going to just chat for a second here before we break for the news, and then we'll come back and talk more with our panel from Donda's House about the movie Chirac. But Rhymefest in a studio and put all this together for us. Well, your objections with the film. I mean, you've actually got some history with this even before the movie opened. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. You know, my problem was the process. So, you know, I was one of the actors that Spike Lee wanted to play the lead before Nick Cannon showed me the script and asked me what I thought. And I read through the script, you know, and I said, this is not Chicago at all. It's reminiscent of L.A. It's reminiscent of New York. The actor then went to Spike Lee, the proposed actor went to Spike Lee and said, can we get some Chicago writers to make it a little more authentic to the city? Spike Lee said, no, I just want you to act. The script is what it is. You know, and so with that, it let me know that this was a film that he had made before he came to Chicago. This was not about Chicago. Spike Lee has said in many interviews, so I have a problem with the process. Spike Lee has said in many interviews that he could not get funding for this Alyssa Strada-based film until he named it Chi-Raq. So what happens is Amazon says, yes, we like that name. Let's appropriate the pain of Chicago and put it on this pre-made thing from college or wherever you had it from, because it seems a little amateurish in application to me. And so, you know, when we get Chi-Raq hats, Chi-Raq shirts, Chi-Raq, you know, apparel, well, where's that money going? And how is it benefiting the people that you claim to want to help? I have a problem with the process and the fact that Father Michael Flager was having demonstrations that people thought were real anti-violence demonstrations, but were shooting for the film. The secrecy that this film was shot in.
So Father Flager was doing rallies, and people were showing up because they thought it was a rally.
And then Cusack comes out and gives a sermon.
In the neighborhood, and they didn't know that the cameras were rolling.
People didn't know. And that they were shooting for the film. You know, this just reminds me, when we look at what's happening, let's compare this to why Chicago is where it is today. When we look at the city council giving $5 million in secrecy, when we look at the secrecy of tapes and films being held, the leaders who supported Rahm Emanuel's reelection, who are now saying, well, Rahm should resign. Well, you supported him during the election. Chicago's corruption is steeped in its secrecy, in its immoral things that hide in the dark. And I believe that Spike Lee came and was taught how to navigate through Chicago through the dark.
Yeah, and is profiting off of it while blood is spilling in the streets.
Just like our political leaders, just like some of our religious leaders, the theme of the corruption in Chicago seems to be to profit in the dark while people die in the light.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more in a minute on WGN. It's a beautiful. Temperature-wise, at least, a beautiful day outside. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And on the WGN-TV morning news tomorrow, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler talking about their brand new movie. Talk more about the big Star Wars release. And the feedback that we've been getting on our Chi-Raq panel that we had on last week on the WGN Morning News, so powerful. Rhymefest in with us today in a group that he put together from Donda's House, an organization founded by Kanye West in honor of his mother, of people who are interested in the arts, young people who are interested in the arts, and several of them in studio with us this morning. Shayna Jones, Imani Hardy, Kendall the Lashment, and Rhymefest himself here with us today. So does any good come out of the release of Chi-Raq? Is there any positive that comes out of all this?
My thing is, some people say this, and I'd be interested to know what you know, Shayna and Kendall and Imani think. Some people say, well, the good that comes out of it is conversation. Like, we're starting to talk and have dialogue.
We're talking
about
exactly. Talking right
but,
now.
Yeah, but my thing is, we've been talking and having dialogue about these issues. Yeah. Right. I always think art is not enough, right? So it's like Marvin Gaye had to make a song that was connected to the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. Or like Stevie Wonder had to say, happy birthday, to try to get a Dr. King bill passed for a national holiday.
Right.
If art is not connected to movement, art in itself or conversation in itself becomes mundane to me. But I don't know. What do y'all think about it?
I just want to echo what you're saying. Definitely the conversation and the dialogue is the best thing that's going to come from this movie, because, I mean, the reception that I've been getting from it is the same as ours. Like, nobody is really a fan of the movie, but the fact that we're actually getting a platform to share our thoughts and share our truths about the city of Chicago and the statement, the state that Chicago is in, that's the only good that I see coming out from it. Hopefully our words don't fall on deaf ears. Maybe we do light a fire under Spike Lee and he can contribute some of his earnings to the neighborhood of Inglewood.
Yeah.
Maybe start a film program for the youth in Chicago.
And maybe he is. Privately
needs to come
that's
on.
Going
he needs
on.
To hurry up and come on with it. And it needs to be as public as the movie.
Yeah.
My question, though, Dean, is why are film critics scared of Spike Lee? I don't understand why I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes and they're like, and they're not even giving a good review. They're just like, Spike Lee uses his school days remarkability, like, you know, like, or even you gave it a Dean's List C, when really the majority of people in Chicago that saw it give it a F. I would at least expect a D. And you know, people, we always got problems with film critics, but like,
you do know I can hear you right now, right?
But I know, I love you,
no,
but
I know,
I'm saying,
I know
like,
what you mean.
Why,
I know what you mean.
It seems like, the majority white
little,
film critics
a little
are scared
intimidation.
Of little black Spike Lee.
There's a little intimidation factor. I mean, my C was based on some things I liked in the film and some things I didn't like in the film. I think I would have given it a worse grade if I felt more overwhelmingly negative about
what
it.
What did you give Krumpus?
Than positive.
What did you give Krumpus?
Well, you're not going to compare Chirac and Krumpus.
I'm saying there's some.
I gave it a D
because
it was a terrible film.
It was, okay, boom. But there was something
I didn't think,
to like about it.
I didn't think
good idea.
Chirac was a terrible film, though. I mean, I was moved by a couple of moments in Chirac. I thought. Well, I did have some problems, Shane, as you did with the Angela Bassett character. Overall, there were some very moving moments with the Angela Bassett character and the John Cusack character, and a quick moment at the end of the film where there is some, you know, redemption of all this madness of this sex strike. But I mean, I had some positives, and I had some negatives, but I do agree with you, and this is the reason that I put this panel, that one of this panel together.
Right.
Old white men should not be the ones who are, you know, the ones who are, you know, giving the final word on Chirac.
Old white
it's
men.
Not, it's not about old white men. This movie's not about old white men.
But well, I feel like it is with John Cusack's character.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
We have this this scene at the end of the movie where everybody's dressed in all white, and you have this white savior, and there's a light backlighting him, and he's just like this Jesus figure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to save you, black people.
But
come
it's,
follow
it's
me.
Like,
is that too different, though, than what goes on at St. Sabina's? I mean, not with the lights and the drama and all, but isn't that basically the Father Flager character in real life?
I'm not familiar with what goes on at St. Sabina. I mean, I can only say that there are positive black role models in Chicago for him to choose, you know, the only white pastor in a black neighborhood.
For Spike Lee to have
chosen.
Okay.
I don't think it was the best
decision. But also, I mean, you know, look, a movie has to sell, right? And so I think we come into this thing of capitalism versus reality, and what do we want when a corporation says we have to make money. We need one of the things to make money and make a film big, we need a white character. We need a white character in a big way. You know what I mean? And so that Father Flager was perfect for Spike. But my problem is when Spike talks about black exploitation and then does it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he's big. He made a big rant when he got his honorary Oscar, but then, like, was doing what he was ranting against.
Yeah.
So when we talk about people exploiting the poor, period, no matter what color you are.
Shana, what do you think about all this?
Right. I was going to go back to the rating of the film. Like you said, as a critic, you all have to look at the movie itself. You can't really put your personal emotions into it too much. So if I was just a film critic, just looking at the movie just for itself and kind of like taking the title away from it, I know that's a big thing, but just taking that away, it was an entertaining movie. Like you said, it can make money, and that was the purpose. And controversy, too, makes money. So, of course, that's why it was good to put it out for him. But personally, being here, I think it was just the wrong time for this movie to be out, because it's too personal, it's too fresh. backlash. We're still going through it, and we're looking for solutions. And I know he said he wasn't trying to bring solutions to the movie by being a satire, but he could have then put out another movie that could have been a little bit closer to home instead of putting out something funny, and it's so serious right now.
Or do something like he did approaching the problems in New Orleans after the hurricane, where it was a much more serious documentary approach to what was going on. And it seems like the problems that we have in Chicago are much more suited toward a powerful documentary than
exactly
a comedy satire.
Right. And two, my thing is, a lot of the shooting and killing is happening and going on because of teens and boys. They're not going to go to the movie theater and be like, oh, this is just a satire. Oh, that was just used for satirical purposes. No, they're going to call it, just think it's a joke. You know, this is not going to relate to them. I know in one of his interviews, Spike said that this movie was meant to save lives. Absolutely not, because the people that are doing the killing, they're not able to relate, because most of them are youthful boys or different people that won't be able to relate to what he meant to poke fun at and whatnot. You know, it's just a joke to them.
All right.
That's interesting. Boy, like, young people, the audience that he said he was aiming for can't understand the language that he's saying of satire and Alyssa Strata. So what are we really doing?
Yeah, let me take a break and we'll wrap things up here and kind of summarize a little bit with our panel. 11:47 WGN. This is Dean Richards, 720 WGN, with Shana Jones, with Imani Hardy, Kendall DeLashment, Rhymefest in with us this morning. Not only talking about Chirac, but the problems here in Chicago. I mean, this is all we've been seeing on the news lately, the protests and the violence. Another story, Shana was just mentioning to me during the break, the story that we just heard about the young man from Northern Illinois University who was found shot. You know him.
Yeah.
These are things that affect, that these are more than just news stories that you hear. These are things that actually affect people's lives, right?
Right. He was a grammar school friend of mine, and you know, it's just a shame that he was doing something with his life. You know, he wasn't just on the street, you know, hanging out. You know, he was actually going to get a good education, you know, and that's the problem now in our communities and things, that we don't get the funding that we need for education. He actually was able to get out and do something, and it's like to come home and just be murdered senselessly.
Came home for the holidays, right?
Yeah, just home for the holidays, and to be murdered senselessly, and nobody can speak up and say what happened, or none of his friends. It's ridiculous to me.
Can we just go around the room? I mean, this is, you know, there's so much to talk about in the city of Chicago, but what it really seems to boil down to is how can we begin to get this to stop? You know, here comes a bright young man home for the holidays,
right,
and is shot in the street. How do we get this to stop?
I'll just say opportunity. A lot of our youth, they're not afforded the same opportunities as people from different neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I was privileged, and I'm using that in quotations, to have both of my parents in my life, and they weren't even together. But that's even privileged to even have them both in my life, and they kept me focused on a goal of being in school and, you know, wanting to go to college, because they were both college graduates. So education and opportunity, I think, are very key. And just mentorship, I would also say.
Right.
A lot of people don't have that person to look to when they're having tough times, and when they're, you know, looking for guidance. They don't have these positive role models. So I just think we need to reach back and give back to our youth.
Yeah. How about you, Imani? What do you think?
Well, that's funny that y'all mentioned that, because I work at an after-school program in my neighborhood in a South Austin community. It's called Kids Express. Mm-hmm. And there I mentor kids and stuff like that, helping with their homework. And I actually just started a hip-hop workshop there where I teach kids about the culture and, like, teach them how to rap and stuff. So they, like, between the ages of, like, I guess 5 to, like, 14 years old. So it's a different range of children there. But I just feel as though people should start taking a that's not all I'm gonna do, but this is a start for me trying to make a change in my community. So in my community, it's been a lot of shootings going on lately, and you know what I'm saying. So with that being said, the kids, I feel as though, need somebody that they can identify with.
Exactly.
That's not gonna treat them like a child, like more so like a friend or something.
Do people know who are doing these shootings? I mean, in the community, do people know, but just don't want to say anything because they don't want to get involved? They don't want to be the subject of revenge or retribution.
People feel as though they can handle it on their own. So most of them, like the ones that's affected by it, they take it into their own hands. So that's how the violence keeps, because violence only begets violence.
Begets violence.
So. Right. And I do think it's because they are scared, because some of the people that are doing the shootings, their parents might know, but at the same time, they don't want their kid to be locked up. And two, if other people go around telling, they don't want to be the next victim, you know? So it's almost like a cycle of fear. And I think that's pretty much why a lot of things go unknown and a lot of the killers go unknown.
And if people, I'm only speculating, but if people feel like they have an idea of who are doing these shootings, and they don't trust the police, they don't trust the system, as we've now seen that the, you know, while there are good police and there are good people in the system, we now also know that there are not good people in the system. That how do you trust a system like this to try to solve these problems when you see some of the things like we've seen on all the dash cam videos and, you know, all the reports that are now coming out?
I don't know if it's about trust in the system. I mean, I'm just speaking from my personal experience. When my brother passed, we found out before the funeral who did it. You know, because people talk in the neighborhood, so I'm not going to say people don't know. They shared that information with us. They didn't go to the police. When we took the information to the police, the system just worked slow. They need proof. They need, I don't know, they need to charge them with somebody else just so they can get them in interrogation.
Yeah.
And then there has to be definitive proof in the courtroom. Like, the person that we thought, and I'm using quotations again, murdered my brother, actually just got off in January. And this was something that happened in 2008. So he served, I think, 2 or 3 years, and he got off. So just to go back to what you're saying, no, we don't trust the system.
No.
Just because of stuff like that. The system works too slow, and we don't always get the results that we believe that we deserve.
Yeah, a lot of problems to sort through, don't you think, Sean?
I think there's hope. You know, when we look at Donda's house right now, you have a group of young people that are doing great, not only in the program, but in their personal lives, they're doing wonderful. I think the system has to support programs that work and that have sustainable, tangible outcomes, you know, such as Donda's house. I think that, you know, when we look at budget cuts, we can't cut the free mental health programs in the city. Yeah. We can't continue to cut public school. You know, there are certain things that we have to invest in for a future. Mm-hmm. And I see a change coming right now where people are rising up and saying, we're going to invest in our city now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're just right on the verge of huge changes here in Chicago, and hopefully for the better. If these young people that I've had the pleasure of meeting for the last couple of days are any indication, yes, I am so optimistic about what the future holds for us. Thank you all so much for
sharing.
DondasHouseInc.org.
Always selling.
Visit DondasHouseInc.org.
Fundraising going
Giving
on.
Giving Tuesday.
That's right.
House. On a Sunday.
Donda's House.
Rhyme Fest, thank you so much as well. It's 1157 WGN.